This sermon was slated to be preached last week, but I was so sick that I could not make it. And so Travis Cunningham filled in, and he preached the sermon he was supposed to preach today. He preached it last week, and I'm preaching the sermon I was supposed to preach last week, and I'm preaching it this week. The good news is this. In this series on spiritual warfare, the first three sermons all deal with kind of a macro view, a macro overall view of what spiritual warfare looks like. Now, after this, we're going to be getting into the individual pieces of the spiritual armor. We're going to be talking about specific strategies that you can apply in your life. But this is the last sermon that is really just a general view, a macro view of spiritual warfare. And the title of this message is Be Strong in the Lord. Would you say that with me? Be strong in the Lord. Now say it like you're part of a war tribe, which you are. Be strong in the Lord. Now look at the people around you and say it. Be strong in the Lord. The Apostle Paul starts his teaching on spiritual warfare with this simple but important statement. In fact, it's an essential statement. So much so that if you don't really understand this statement, you're not going to be very effective when it comes to spiritual warfare. And he says this in Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Why was the Apostle Paul compelled to give us this piece of advice? Why is this so essential? Not just for me and you, but even for that little voice that is speaking there. It's essential. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. In fact, when it comes to the little people in our life, our kids, we're fighting for them. And this is a desperate fight that we're fighting for them. So, we live in a world that's full of contrasts. Up, down, in, out. Tall, short, hot, cold, winning, losing, educated, ignorant, wise, foolish, introverted, extroverted, safe, dangerous, first, last, happy, sad. You know, the list of contrast is endless. We live in a world of contrast. When I consider the subject of spiritual warfare from this broad macro viewpoint, it also has a couple of areas of extreme contrast that are important for every believer to clearly understand. And if you don't understand these two spiritual contrasts that are happening in our world, you will be going through life and you will continually ask the question, why? Why, Lord? Why me, Lord? Why is this happening? And you will ask that question over and over and over if you don't understand what's going on. Years ago, well, let's deal with this first contrast. It deals with the way the world was before the fall of man, before sin invaded the planet, versus the way the world is today, the world in which we live. It's why you can look at a picture or a film of paradise, and you can begin to tear it down really quickly, realizing that there are a lot of things in paradise that are dangerous to you. How many of you have ever messed with poison ivy? Was it fun? Did you like it? Isn't it amazing that oil gets on your clothes and it gets on your skin, it gets on other people's skin, it gets on where you sit down and, you know, you just spread the joy around? They don't even like to see you coming to the hospital. It's kind of like you got poison ivy. We've got a special room for you. Years ago, I was listening to a fairly well-known evangelist who was preaching about this particular spiritual contrast of how the world was and how the world is. And he said this, that you can take all the sorrow, the suffering, the disappointment, sickness, opposition, struggles, temptations, insanity, fear, crime, death, and every kind of negativity that you will face in life, you can wrap it up in one little package and trace all of its roots to the fall of man. Everything that plagues you, everything that is difficult, everything that just makes life miserable, you can trace back to one single event, and that is when sin came into this world. And all that negativity, all those negative things that happen to us in life today, you could consider that a part of the spiritual warfare that all of us are fighting. Now, when I heard that, I thought, well, is he oversimplifying the problem? I mean, some of my problems, they're just like problems. Then the more I thought about it, the more I realized, he's right. He's right. What was the world like before the curse of sin was unleashed? It was paradise. God created our planet and he called it good. It was a work of, a beautiful work of living art. And there was no hardship and no danger and nothing to fear and no predators and no sorrow and no hunger and no disease and no knowledge of evil. And it was, in many respects, a reflection of what God is preparing for us in the future, where all the tears will be wiped away and where we won't know sickness and disease and hunger and fatigue and where we won't feel all washed out, wrung out, and hung out to dry. But it all changed when Adam and Eve fell into sin. In a moment, they ate the forbidden fruit and the world was forever changed as sin entered paradise. Sin was like the story of Pandora's box. And when the box of sin was opened, every horrible thing was loosed upon the world and its inhabitants. And before sin entered the picture, we had nothing to fear and we were not vulnerable to anything. After sin, we became vulnerable. If you're going to fight spiritual war, this is one of those things that you need to understand, folks. We are in and of ourselves and in our flesh and in our weaknesses, we are vulnerable. Vulnerable to temptation. Vulnerable to sin. After sin, we became vulnerable mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and physically vulnerable in a toxic environment. And this is why Jesus said that we're not of this world and why right now he is busy preparing a better place for us to live. But in the meantime, we're stuck. Hope you like the people that you're stuck with. We're stuck. Stuck in a place that's not our home, pilgrims and sojourners passing through a dangerous, hostile land. And by the way, you can confirm that in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Peter alludes to it. The writer of Hebrews alludes to it. It's alluded to many, many times. Jesus alludes to it. Apart from the grace of God, we are all vulnerable to aging and death, to sickness and disease, to hunger and starvation, to rejection and accusations, to violence from other people or people groups, to accidents and injuries, to deception and lies, to vain philosophies and half-truths, to mental cruelty and abuse, to sexual exploitation and perversion, to peer pressure and the influence of pop culture, to loneliness and self-loathing, to reversals of fortune, and earning a living by the sweat of our brow, to violent acts of nature and pestilence, to mental illness and the lack of self-actualization. And you can add to all that I've just said to the fact that we're under attack by demonic forces that are powerful, organized, and led by an enemy that the Bible describes as a hungry lion seeking whom he may devour. So welcome to paradise. It is a wonderful day in the neighborhood. This is our reality. And this is why The people of planet Earth, starting with us, need a Savior. We need Jesus. We need to be rescued. We need help. So, I want to tell you a story of my friend Liz Berkshire. Liz and her husband Tim live in San Antonio. I became acquainted with both Liz and Tim years ago. Both Tim and Liz attended New Life Assembly, where I was serving as a senior pastor. Tim was the manager of a small deli in the local mall, where I often ate lunch, had conversations, and became a fan of frozen yogurt. That was the first place that where I ever ate frozen yogurt. Didn't know there was frozen yogurt. Liz was the younger sister of Sherry Kirby. Doug and Sherry Kirby were dear friends of ours, still are friends of ours, and they served on the leadership team of our church there. And a lot of life has happened since that time.
We pick up with Liz's story from about 2 years ago. 2 short years ago, it seemed as if almost everything was going as well as could be expected in Liz's life. But seemingly out of nowhere, Liz started to feel lethargic, started losing weight. She realized that something in her body was going wrong. She and her husband tried some healthy lifestyle changes and stayed in prayer. The symptoms continued to get worse, and finally, Liz went to see a gynecologist in March of 2016. Through a series of exams and tests, it was discovered and confirmed that Liz had cancer, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. A CT scan revealed a large tumor on the outside of her colon, growing around a main artery that supplies blood to the stomach and intestines. Because of this, the mass could not be surgically removed, so Liz started chemotherapy. Surrounded by the prayers of people, friends, and family, Liz completed her course of chemo treatments, and by July 26th, she was declared cancer-free. 3 short days later, Liz was in terrible pain and rushed to the ER. An emergency surgery was performed, because between the cancer and the chemo, Liz's bowels were weakened and there was a major rupture. Ultimately, Liz underwent 6 separate surgeries, trying to repair her intestines and bowels. The damage made it impossible to reconnect her small intestine. Obviously, not having your small intestine connected has some serious ramifications. Firstly, there is the bag that catches the contents of everything being produced by and through the stomach, which opens to the challenges of infection and nutrition. Then there are the challenges of intravenous feeding and the loss of weight. Liz was weighing in at 79 pounds. She was 5'8". That's dangerously thin. Let me speak for Liz in her words. My faith was put to test. I continued to trust the Lord, but my faith took a whipping. I became quiet and thoughtful, often thinking, "Where are you, Lord?" It was hard to pray because I was literally out of it for over a month. My friends and family took to praying and interceding on my behalf. I will never forget all the prayer support. So many warriors, so many visits. Many times I just laid there, too out of it to speak. My husband, Tim, spent 76 days, almost every night with me. He wasn't working. Insurance miracles happened. My sister-in-law set up a fund, and we had no lack of finances. Today, 10 months later, since our first hospital visit, I am feeling almost normal. My walk with the Lord has so improved. I can read my Bible again. I can go for walks again. Life is beginning again. I'm not the same person. I think more before I speak. I'm much more confident. I'm grateful I went through this crisis, and it's not over yet. I still need to have my bowels reconnected. What can I say? God is good. Even when life feels and looks bad, He always has a plan. In the hospital, people would quote scripture to me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. Even though I felt doubt and fear, God never did forsake me. In my darkest hours, He is there.
Recently, Liz left this prayer on Facebook. Lord, your word tells us not to be anxious about anything. I want so badly for this to be true for me. But sometimes my human heart does not feel at peace. Father, forgive me for not bringing my worries to you first. Thank you for a peace that passes all understanding. And thank you for the promise to protect my heart and mind from the trials of my daily life. In Jesus' name, amen. Liz's story reminds me of Job. Job has a seemingly perfect life going for him. He is a blessed man. He is prospering. His life is full of peace, you know, blessing. And there's this explosion of tragedy and sickness and death and reversal of fortune and loss of everything that was important to him. I mean, report came in, and the next report came in, and the next report came in, and certainly in Job's case, when it rained, it poured. And he ends up losing basically everything. But in case you missed the point earlier, in Liz's case and in Job's case, this is nothing less than a form of spiritual warfare. And it seems to me that this thread of negativity, opposition, and tribulation is something that they have in common with all the heroes of the faith listed in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, as well as Jesus and all the original disciples. And what this tells me for all of us is that we need to strap in and get ready for life. Because life, like it or not, ready or not, here it comes and it's happening now. It's why the Apostle Paul called on us to be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. If we go through the things that we've just been talking about, you will need to be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. If you're going to go through these things, you're going to have to be spiritually defiant. You're going to have to pray that the Lord gives you the strength to stand. And if you make that prayer and you make that stand, He'll be your strength. And you will be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. My point, in case you missed it, the point is this. In this world, you'll have tribulation. Now, just before you tire and feather me or start throwing rocks, I want you to know that's not my idea. I did not come up with that, Jewel. Jesus did. He said, hey, brothers and sisters, I've got some news for you. In this world, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have tribulation. But don't sweat it. Take heart. Because I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. In other words, you're going to go through this stuff, but you can still be strong in me and in my mighty power. My grace is sufficient to see you through whatever you're facing. So Jesus tells the parable of the wise man and the foolish man, and He starts the parable by saying, whoever hears my words and does them is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. Now, how many of you would like to think of yourself as wise? Come on. Okay, let me ask the opposite question. How many of you would really like to be You would like everybody in your world to think of you as the foolish, most foolish person that they've ever seen, that you need a drill cup. Would you please raise your hand? Would everybody else please raise their hand? You would like to be wise. Okay, so since all of you want to be wise guys, it goes like this. Do what Jesus tells you to do. How many of you got that? Was that pretty simple? How do you be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power? You do what Jesus tells you to do. And if you do what Jesus tells you to do, you're like the wise man who built his house on the rock. The foolish man ignored that advice, and he built his life on sand or pop culture or, you know, a fascination with the Kardashian family. And in his case, life happened in the form of, in the parable, it's wind, it's waves, it's water, it's a storm. And it crashed against his house, and his house tells us that the destruction was great. The same storm, because we live on the same planet with the same problems as everybody else who doesn't have the Lord, the same problem crashed against his house, the winds, the rain, the water, the floods. And the house stood firm because it's built on the solid rock. That leads me to the final point of the sermon and the punchline, really. An important, maybe most essential concept that you need to have with absolute clarity, you need to understand it with, you need to get it, is that life is going to work with Christ. And if you're standing outside of Christ trying to do it on your own, it's going to be a disaster. This is a huge spiritual contrast. Let me talk about what your life is like in Christ. In Christ, there's nothing that can separate me from the love of Christ. Wow, nothing. In Christ, we are more than conquerors. No, that's the reason I have a spiritually defiant attitude towards the powers of darkness and this life. I believe in Christ, and I believe that there isn't anything that cannot be conquered through the power of Christ. Can I get an amen? If God is for us, nothing can stand against us. In Christ, all things work together for my good. All things. All things. In Christ, I can do all things in Christ who is my strength. With God, all things are possible. In Christ, we enjoy an abundant life. This is the point I'm making. In Christ, life works. And you can be blessed. And you can be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Now, that's not going to happen if you're outside of Christ. I wrote this little thing about being in Christ. When we're locked in with God, walking in obedience, walking in His purposes, walking in the light as He is in the light, we still face the natural troubles and disappointments that come from living on this planet. We still face the battle with our own flesh. We still face the accusations and opposition of the enemy. We still face rejection and persecution from other people. And we will face God's discipline when we get out of line. However, we do not face either the judgment or the wrath of God. Instead, we walk in the favor of God, in the love of God, in the goodness of God, and in the blessings of God. And when the storms of life rage against us, we will be standing strong, for we are established on solid rock. Can I get an amen? That's life in Christ. Without Christ, it's pretty simple. Life is a disaster. I don't know if you like disasters. I don't. Have you ever cooked a meal and you thought it was going to be great and it was a disaster? Have you ever been on a trip and everything was going to be wonderful and then the car broke down and the kids were throwing up and they were sick and, you know, suddenly you realize this is not so great? How many of you like disasters? Have you ever woken up in the morning? I wake up in the morning and my wife goes, man, you look just like Kramer. It's a disaster. It needs some help. Without Christ, life is a disaster. The Bible tells me that my life will absolutely crash and buckle and be swept away under the pressure of life apart from Christ. The Bible tells me that apart from Christ, there is a way that seems right to me, and the end is death. And if I didn't get it the first time, Proverbs repeats that same Proverbs three times. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end is death. Thirdly, my life is nothing more, according to Solomon, without Christ. My life is nothing more than vanity. I am dust in the wind. I am dust in the wind. I think sometimes we just don't get it. You know, sometimes at this age in life, you still feel like life's going to go on forever, and it doesn't. I was just reading the other day on Facebook, and one of the teammates on the soccer team that I played with at Northwest University passed away. I didn't even know it. And I thought, wow. And then I read a little bit further, and his wife, who had been married to for over 40 years, 2 weeks later, she died. And the good news is they're both in Christ, so they're not just dust in the wind. But without the Lord, man, it's hard to make meaning out of this thing. And with the Lord, we have lots of meaning. And we know that we're going to see those people that we love on the other side of this life. I want to close with the why we need to remain in Christ, why we're dependent on Christ for strength, and why we need to continue to lean on His mighty power. All the things I've talked about, the things that are stacked against us, they are all subject to the power and authority of Jesus Christ. Did you hear what I said? All the things that are stacked against us on this earth, all the things that are dangerous in paradise, must still bow before the authority of Jesus Christ. So what does that mean? Well, it means when it comes to starvation, Jesus turned water into wine and He fed 5,000 people with a few loaves and fishes. When it comes to disease, Jesus cleansed lepers and caused the blind to see and the deaf to hear and the lame to walk. When it comes to deception and the lies of the enemy, Jesus spoke the truth, He quoted Scripture, and ultimately crushed the head of the serpent. When it comes to death, Jesus said to Lazarus, "Lazarus, come forth!" And the dead defied the grave. Literally everything that is under the curse of sin that has come into our world, Jesus has overcome. He is Lord over sin. Bible tells us that death, hell, and the grave are all subject to Him. And that is why we can be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Because all the stuff that we face on this earth, eventually we will overcome in Him. 1 John 4:4 says this, "You are from God, little children, and have overcome them," what? All that opposition. "Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." So when it comes to the spiritual battle, which continues to rage on around us, I have a definitive choice to make. Live a life completely vulnerable, on my own, in my own strength and in my own wisdom, and hope for the best. Or I can submit myself to the one that is living in me, who has authority over all things, and I am vulnerable, and I can be strong in the Lord. It's our choice. Be strong in the Lord, or hope that the roaring lion forgets your address. Be strong in the Lord, or find a deep, dark cave to hide in. Be strong in the Lord, or take your chances in a dangerous, unforgiving world. Make no mistake, when you believe in Christ, submit to his lordship, and follow him, the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit that lived in Jesus, will live in you. You need to embrace the work of the Spirit and be strong in him. You know what we need, church? Other than a bigger Kleenex? Oh my goodness, when you have the flu, it's like endless. It's like, I believe in miracles because there is a living, flowing river. Flowing. Is that what the Bible means when it says there will be rivers of living water flowing? No, I don't think so. This is what I'd like to suggest to you. As we are fighting this battle, and all of us are in it, once again, let me remind you, all this negativity that is in our world and in our lives, this is all a part of the spiritual warfare that we are fighting. And you can let it scare you. You can try to medicate it. You can try other coping mechanisms. Or you can stand strong in the Lord and be defiant. And I get a picture of myself because I think just at the core of who I am, I'm a defiant person. But when you see me, this is what I'm doing to the powers of darkness. I am standing with a fist in the face of the powers of darkness, and I'm going to stand strong in the Lord, and I don't care what happens. It's not going to shake my faith. It's not going to change who I am. I want to stand with Job and say, whatever happens, Lord, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to stand for you. I'm willing to die for you. But I am defiant to these powers that want to hurt me, hurt my family, hurt my church, and hurt all the people that I love. We are standing for the Lord. Now, just so I know that you're kind of on board with this, if in the last 6 months you've had any kind of reversal of fortune in your life, would you stand? Any reversal of fortune in your life? If in the last 6 months you've had anybody say something to you that wasn't very friendly or very true, would you just stand? If you have been sick at all in the last year, would you please stand? And if you're still seated out there, would you just wave your hand so we know who you are? So what this tells me with all of us standing here is that we're all in the fight. And life is cleaning your clock or you're standing in spiritual defiance. So where are you at? You know, is the enemy whooping on you? You getting beat up? Are you losing? Or in the power of Almighty God and the power of our Savior, you're going to stand and be defiant and say, listen, bring your worst. I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to break. I'm not going to change. Jesus is King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords, and we will win. And we will win. As to death, Jesus said to Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth! And the dead defied the grave. Literally everything that is under the curse of sin, that has come into our world, Jesus has overcome. He is Lord over sin. Bible tells us that death, hell, and the grave are all subject to him, and that is why we can be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, because all this stuff that we face on this earth, eventually we will overcome in him. 1 John 4:4 says this, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, what? All that opposition, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So when it comes to the spiritual battle, which continues to rage on around us, I have a definitive choice to make. live a life completely vulnerable on my own, in my own strength and in my own wisdom, and hope for the best. Or I can submit myself to the one that is living in me, who has authority over all things, and I am vulnerable, and I can be strong in the Lord. It's our choice. Be strong in the Lord, or hope that the roaring lion forgets your address. Be strong in the Lord, or find a deep, dark cave to hide in. Be strong in the Lord, or take your chances in a dangerous, unforgiving world. Make no mistake, when you believe in Christ, submit to his lordship, and follow him, the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit that lived in Jesus, will live in you. You need to embrace the work of the Spirit and be strong in him. You know what we need, church? Other than a bigger Kleenex? Oh my goodness, when you have the flu, it's like endless. It's like, I believe in miracles because there is a living, flowing river. Flowing. Is that what the Bible means when it says there will be rivers of living water flowing? No, I don't think so. This is what I'd like to suggest to you. As we are fighting this battle, and all of us are in it, once again, let me remind you, all this negativity that is in our world and in our lives, this is all a part of the spiritual warfare that we are fighting. And you can let it scare you. You can try to medicate it. You can try other coping mechanisms. Or you can stand strong in the Lord and be defiant. And I get a picture of myself because I think at the core of who I am, I'm a defiant person. But when you see me, this is what I'm doing to the powers of darkness. I am standing with a fist in the face of the powers of darkness, and I'm going to stand strong in the Lord, and I don't care what happens. It's not going to shake my faith. It's not going to change who I am. I want to stand with Job and say, whatever happens, Lord, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to stand for you. I'm willing to die for you. But I am defiant to these powers that want to hurt me, hurt my family, hurt my church, and hurt all the people that I love. We are standing for the Lord. Now, just so I know that you're kind of on board with this, if in the last 6 months you've had any kind of reversal of fortune in your life, would you stand? Any reversal of fortune in your life. If in the last 6 months you've had anybody say something to you that wasn't very friendly or very true, would you just stand? If you have been sick at all in the last year, would you please stand? And if you're still seated out there, would you just wave your hand so we know who you are? So what this tells me, with all of us standing here, is that we're all in the fight. And life is cleaning your clock, or you're standing in spiritual defiance. So where are you at? You know, is the enemy whooping on you? You getting beat up? Are you losing? Or in the power of Almighty God and the power of our Savior, you're going to stand and be defiant and say, listen, bring your worst. I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to break. I'm not going to change. Jesus is King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords, and we will win. And we will win. It's our choice. So what I want us to do, this is going to be really different. I'm not going to make us march or do anything weird like that. But what I do want us to do is I want us to stand all around this church, all on the outside. I want a huge circle. Front, back, sides. Let's get everybody in. Now, I'm not going to make you join hands for obvious reasons. But when I was in junior high and high school, they used to do things like this, and we called them pep rallies. Because they wanted to have school spirit. But if there's a place where there should be real spirit, it is with God's people and it's in the church. And sometimes we act like the defeated few, and it's time for us to begin to strike back against the enemy. So I want you to defiantly raise a fist in the air, hands extended, and I want you to repeat after me. In the power of Jesus Christ, we are more than conquerors. If God is for us, nothing can stand against us. Okay, did that feel okay? Okay, we could do that better though, right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have the band who left and weren't going to sing at the end. I want you to do the song that we were just doing at the very end. Okay? Let's go up and let's make this passionate. This is the very last thing we're going to do. We're going to let you out of here, but we're going to sing. We're going to do it in circle. This is going to be surround sound this morning. This is going to be cool.
I'm just kidding.
No.